Searching for NBA playoff coverage? We've got you. The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, gives you an inside look into the world of sports. Hosted by former NBA sharpshooter and Duke legend J.J. Redick and sports writer Tommy Alter, The Old Man and the Three offers unprecedented access to the league. Tommy and J.J. discuss the NBA and interview some of the biggest names in the league, like Devin Booker and Luka Doncic. NBA final season is the perfect time to dive in, and you can listen to The Old Man and the Three wherever you get your podcasts. To hear episodes brought to you by BMW. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
I'm hoping the Big Ten has to modify their system for us.
Probably like getting grade 10 sandpaper rubbed on your face every day.
I mean, we say it all the time, whether, you know, there's two types of turds. You're a sinker or you're a floater, but you're still a turd, right? I mean,
we are about players and players playing the plays. And not necessarily the place.
Welcome to the Varsity Club Podcast. My name is Derek Peterson. Very excited this week. We've got friends of the pod back on, the guys from the Go Big Red cast, who honestly, like, the way you guys are growing, the guests you guys have had, like, this is the most entertaining Husker podcast that I listen to. So I guess congrats, like, good job on being good. And also, thank you for coming on to my podcast. It's great to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for having us on. And it's fun to do this, be on this end of StreamYard now. We're always the host, and to be on the other end of this. And it's cool to see the Varsity Club now doing the video stuff, too.
Yeah, and I'm just happy because this is the first time anyone's actually wanted to talk to me. Usually people are trying to get out of talking to me, so... And this is cool.
I guess I should have said at the beginning, I got Rob and I got Honky. That's who we've got on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yep. Okay. Well, I have messed up. So this is why you guys are better. This is why you guys are better. It's funny because we were talking off pod about how, like, you guys are enjoying doing some of the live shows that you've done, which have been mm-hmm. entertaining. Because if somebody messes up, like, you don't edit it out. I'm talking about sort of the editing process mm-hmm. when you're not doing a live show. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, well, now that we're doing this on video as well, there's not really a ton of editing that can be done if you, like, flub something up. There is a clip that will live in infamy, at least in my house, for this podcast. And my producer Cam is probably laughing in the background, and Greg would probably laugh when he hears it, of my wife crawling through the background. Right there. And it's amazing. And I sent the video to her and she started laughing at work. And it's going to be a video that we're going to show everybody until the end of time. So flubs on this podcast are going to become a thing, just as me screwing up people's names. I've got you guys here today because I kind of want to get a feel for where you're at exiting the spring period as we move into the summer months with Nebraska. And I actually want to start with this best case, worst case scenario thing that 247 Sports is doing with all the conferences. And I don't know if you guys saw this or not. It doesn't matter. I'm going to read it to you. They're going best case, worst case scenario records for each team in the conference. For Nebraska, best case scenario, 9-3, 7-2 in the conference play. Worst case scenario, 6-6. And that's the one that's interesting to me. Worst case scenario for Nebraska, with all the change that's going on, still making a bowl game, still posting what would be the best record of the Scott Frost era so far. Are you guys in a similar place? Because that to me feels like optimism about what's coming. Like, even if it's worst case scenario, things go poorly, it doesn't go according to plan, they're still making a bowl game based on, I would assume, talent, based on, I guess the Mark Whipple effect. Are you guys in a similar spot? Or are you, I guess, where are you at right now as we kind of head into these summer months? Honky, we'll start with you.
We had a Craig Doman on a couple weeks ago, JoJo's dad, and he's the agent. And he kind of did a best case, worst case thing with JoJo in the draft. And I think it applies to this. He said, you know, best case scenario, I think he can go in the third round. He goes, you know, the bottom, the worst case is sixth round. That's all the information I have. And then he goes, and in reality, the worst case is he doesn't get drafted at all. I kind of apply that same thing right now. I mean, best case, I'm going to say 12-0. We can go 12-0. There's your absolute best case. I'm not putting any cap on it, right? Worst case is 6-6. Okay, sure, I agree with that. And in reality, worst case can be 3-9 again. You know, I mean, if we don't do the things right, if we don't clean up the things that caused us to lose 9 games by single digits and 8 games by one score and put up 239 points in Big Ten play and give up 239 points, break even, and yet we went 1-8. If we don't clean up those things, then we can go 3-9 again. But we have the talent to go 8-4, 9-3, I think. And then if you get a couple of plays going your way, and if we out-coach a team here or there too, I mean, that's possible too. And it feels like it's been a while. That Illinois game was a rough one to start last season. We lost Mac off the show, and he's come back a couple times now. But we lost him, and that was a tough one to lose that game. And afterwards, we had the whole thing with they came out in a 4-man front and all this, and we didn't know how to adapt. That's the kind of stuff that, that's got to be fixed now. And the Whipple effect, hopefully, and getting some guys that have that kind of experience in there, we can't have any more of those things. If we do, I don't know what the worst-case scenario could be.
Rob, how about you? Where are you at?
So I fan a little bit differently than a lot of fans out there. And I know that if you follow my Twitter handle at Redcast Rob, you'd see like I have Redcast Rob 15-0. And a picture is of me in Husker gear breaking through a wall with a jug of Kool-Aid. And I'm like the Kool-Aid guy, right? But the reality is that I have always been the kind of fan that goes into every single game with the mindset that this is why the team I'm rooting for can win this game, right? Like that's every single game. It doesn't matter if it's Ohio State. It doesn't matter if it's, Michigan State. It doesn't matter like if it's Northwestern in game one. It doesn't matter. It's every single week I'm exact same thought. And so for me, I mean, I look at the schedule and I go, there's no reason why this year couldn't be 15-0. And I know people laugh at that, but that's just because that's my mindset is like, okay, here's a reason why we could win every game on this schedule. Realistically, I mean, I would say that the floor in my head and my expectations would be 4 losses total on the season. I mean, that's, I'm looking at it as like that would be that. And so obviously we'd go to a bowl game and the bowl game would count as one of those losses. And when I look at the schedule, here's a game that realistically we could lose, but here's why we could win it. I mean, that's just the way that I think about it. I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm rooting, if it's professional football, college football.
But realistically, you think 8-4 is the floor?
I think 8-4 is the floor. Right. Looking at the schedule.
You're going to be in rare company with that thought.
I am. And that's fine. And people can call me out on it all they want, but it's too early. I mean, you're asking like what our views are coming out of spring. And my view, and Honky and I went to the spring game together, and my view on the spring game was that, like, there's nothing to see here. Let's just get together and be a big, huge Husker family again. Like, that's what that was about. It wasn't about football that weekend. It was all a bunch of second stringers and a bunch of guys that will probably get very little playing time throughout the year. There's a ton of guys that aren't even on campus yet that we have yet to see. And this is one of those years in the past, we've always said, well, they're not on campus for the spring game. They don't exist. Well, this is one of those years where, a lot of these guys are going to exist. Both of our kickers, I think our punter and our kicker or potential punter, I should say, aren't even on campus yet.
No, the punter was here in spring ball, but
they got another guy coming in too, though. Right.
Yeah. Like, the kicker is coming in The transfer portal changes things because these guys can be immediate play guys much more than in the past when we've said if somebody wasn't there during spring ball, that guy, it's hard to see him playing next year. O'Shawn Mathis, it's hard to see somebody who hasn't been here in spring ball playing next year. Well, I don't see that with Mathis or Drew. Those guys are being brought in. This is free agency, and they're being brought in to be immediate contributors, if not starters.
Yeah, in a sense, there is a little bit of uneasiness on my part with a situation like that because I still, I'm just a big like continuity and football guy. And so there's still like a part of me that's like, if you're showing up in July and, you've got a month and a half, like I know they get stuff early before they even get to campus, but like, we'll see. The transfer portal has definitely changed things in that regard where we'll see like how quickly guys can get ramped up and how quickly teams will be sort of who they are. Like, I wonder, we see teams that sort of grow into themselves as the season moves along every single year. And they're a little bit more, not vanilla, but they're more vanilla early on in the season than they are later in the season, obviously. And I wonder if the sort of the process by which they grow through the year is going to be expanded by just having, you know, so many players that show up in the summer months from the transfer portal and things like that. That's one thing that I'm curious about.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Let's, offensive line. You feel good, bad, uneasy, wait and see. You guys are optimistic, which I appreciate. So are you optimistic on the offensive line?
Well, that's hard too, because there were so many injuries for the spring game. How are you supposed to judge off that? And I think even in the, when I talked with Carricker the other day, you know, he made some really good points in that, you know, a lot of these guys are second strings, and the interior of the line, the depth on the interior of the line, he said he wasn't worried about. And that was actually something Honky and I agree with, because we talked about it at the game. We talked about it after the game. We talked about it on the show. You know, the bookends, that those are the ones where the big question marks are going to be. But at the same time, you know, they're still playing around with that. They've got a new offensive line coach, and they had guys out with injuries. So it's really hard to know yet, right? I mean, that's going to be the big question. And you know, God forbid we have to run the ball a bunch, because we've got some great running backs in there. So if the interior of the line is good and they have to run the ball more often than they plan to, I mean, Honky's going to be happier than ever. So
yeah, I'm comfortable with Hickson at center. You know, always would have been nice to have Juergens back, but hard to complain about someone going 51st in the draft. He made the right move. But Hickson, I think, can be a solid center there. We talked with Kevin Williams back in February before spring, and I think that we felt really solid about him. And I think he's going to be, you know, if he's not in the top five, he's going to be your sixth guy. He's going to be a swing guard at the very least. Williams would be a player out there. But, you know, Prochaska, dang, I keep calling him Prochaska. Prochaska.
I do that so that I make sure I spell his name correctly. That's my thing in my head, that I do that because it's phonetically and that I spell the name correctly. Mm-hmm. And I always do the same thing that you just did. I got to catch myself before I say it out loud.
Yeah, I'm notorious for just botching guys' names. But Prochaska and Corcoran are your two best guys. And to Rob's point, they weren't playing in the spring. But, you know, I have no doubt that they will be healthy and ready to go by fall. Prochaska is a more than a solid left tackle. That right tackle spot, you know, gosh, can Ben Hart ever take that over? I've heard people say he could move into guard. That feels weird to me. Maybe he is, but that's a 6'9 guard. But if you're moving him in there because he doesn't have the foot speed on his drop, you know, as a right tackle, I don't know that translates well over to guard either. But regardless, I mean, they've got some players to go through. That Hunter Anthony, the transfer from Oklahoma State, didn't sound like, you know, in spring ball, at least it didn't sound like he made the huge step forward, like, you know, hoping that he just took over one of those, you know, the tackle spots. If they did that, then Corcoran could easily move into a guard or, you know, kind of play around there too. So I don't know. We haven't seen anything with transfer portal. If there's one more guy coming in, you know, we just named 6, 7, 8 guys that I think they can go through. But yeah, I don't know that, you know, that's not the strength right now for sure. And there's concerns. That's fair.
And that makes it really interesting to talk about the offense, because, like you mentioned, Rob, a pretty nice running back room. Casey Thompson was a starter for Texas, played well for Texas. They've got pieces. But you know, for years that offensive line has been the thing that has been questioned and continues to be questioned. And now it has a new offensive line coach who is a relatively newer coach. I'm curious what your guys' reaction was when Dylan Raiola committed to Ohio State. Were you like the masses on Twitter that were like, why did we hire the coach that we hired if this was just going to be the case? Or were you like, well, Ohio State gets another elite prospect?
Well, when we had Benning on, I mean, we pretty much knew after that show that he probably wasn't coming to the Huskers. And I think that – so my reaction to that was just like, oh, well. I mean, it happened. And, you know, he picked Ohio State. And you know what? He's also got, what, 2 more years left of high school. So we still have 2 years to flip him if we try really hard. Maybe Nebraska starts to win. Because, again, winning changes a lot of things in a lot of different programs. I don't know how many times people have to say that over and over and over again. But, you know.
It's also – sorry, not to interrupt you. It's also a baseline for adding a five-star quarterback.
Like, yes, it is.
That's a like, it's not – you're not going to get a guy just because his – uncle played at his relative played at the school. Like, you have to be a winning program to get to a guy. Sorry, continue.
Well, and Osborne made a really good point too, you know, because he makes those once in a while. But you know, it's kind of like turning into college football is turning into like a free agency game now too. And so you get these kids, whether they're still in high school or even in the transfer portal, and they're going to want to go while they already want to go where they're going to win. There's a lot of things outside that are starting to become a little bit more and more enticing for these kids as well. And Ohio State is a premier program right now. And if you're a five-star quarterback and Ohio State wants you, you're going to go there. I same with like Alabama, I would say Clemson, you know, Nebraska is, you know, while we have the tradition, we need to win. And there's nothing around that.
I don't see anything systemic. And this is where, you know, sometimes on Twitter and imagine that it gets, you know, a little toxic on there sometimes. I've seen people try to create this into more than it is. Something systemically wrong. How did we not get Raiola? How are we in it with him right now? We're a 3-9 team going for the number one player in the country. Really, the only reason on paper that it even makes sense that he was looking at us would have been the family ties, right?
Yeah.
You know, since Frost has been here, Ohio State has sent 3 quarterbacks to the NFL. It makes sense. But to Rob's point, there's a lot of things that will happen between now and December of 2023 when he signs anyways. It's the least of the concerns that I have right now because we just brought in 2 quarterbacks from the portal, Purdy and Thompson. We already have a 2023 quarterback. So I'm not worried about Dylan Raiola and what happens in December 2023. We have 2 entire football seasons that are going to happen between now and then. We need to win games. If we win games, things can change. If we send a quarterback like Thompson to the pros, that can change games or change things. And who the heck knows, you know, Ohio State, Ryan Day could be taking off and being the head coach of the, you know, some team in the NFL or something by then too. I mean, there's so many things that will change between now and December 2023. My focus as a fan is Northwestern, August, and not having a start to the season like we experienced last year in Champaign.
Yes. And let's not forget, too, and one name you left off was Torres. I mean, that's a kid that, like, he's injured.
Sure, right? Heinrich. Yeah, I mean, and Heinrich, there's plenty of guys.
Torres, I mean, you watch that kid's highlights out of high school, too. And, I mean, he – who knows what he's going to be like in 2 years, right? 3 years. So, you know, even that, let's just say Raiola probably took a look at our quarterback room with Purdy still going to be there with Torres on the come up. You know, we got, you know, Heinrich. Like, you don't know. Like, you look at that quarterback room, and there's a good chance with this coaching staff, when they're still there because we're going to have a winning season – these guys are all going to be developing and he's going to have to compete.
Raiola didn't not pick us because of competition.
I'm making a joke.
Raiola's number one pick and, you know, number one guy, right?
Yeah.
Ohio State played it right. And they went out there and said, hey, look, we're not even going after a 2023 guy. We had our Watson. We had our guy at spring ball, you know, at the spring game with Raiola there. So, and you're not trying to hide it. I mean, look, you're going to compete wherever you go. You'll compete at Nebraska. And again, we just need to win games. If we win games, then, you know, I'm not worried about December 2023.
What I am secretly hoping for, and this would just be a hilarious, it would just be wonderful if it happens, is if he just pulls a Quinn Ewers and does the exact, reclassifies, enrolls early, gets a year of NIL money, and then goes somewhere else. Like, mm-hmm. that's what I'm rooting for. That's chaos, and I would like to see that more often, especially at with quarterback recruiting.
Well, I hear at Ohio State they've worked tattoos into the NIL deals too. So. Yeah, well,
yeah. That's just, it's been a very interesting kind of subplot for me over the last week to kind of watch, because it just, I get the sense that there's just a lot of skepticism about the merits of the offensive line coach. And, you know, that was something that was brought up whenever he was hired. And I haven't asked Frost this question. I'm just guessing. I don't know, but I'm going to assume that he didn't hire the offensive line coach that he hired because of that person's last name, and because he thought that it would lead to a recruit committing to them that wouldn't play for them for another 2 or 3 years. I think it was Greg that I had on my podcast whenever the news happened first. And we both were like, he obviously brought some fresh ideas to the interview, crushed the interview. And Frost was really excited about his energy and his enthusiasm for coaching the position. I mean, he's been in the NFL. He's a qualified coach. That offensive line group, I'm very curious to see what happens. And I don't think that, you know, Dylan Raiola not committing to Nebraska somehow says that Nebraska's offensive line coach was the wrong choice or any of the other.
I said it like a week ago too, like Caleb Benning, another, you know, I mean, it's Damon Benning's son. And even Damon was just like, if my son doesn't commit to Nebraska, it's not because of that. It's just, he's always chosen his own path. He literally chose a different high school than the one his dad was coaching at, and made his dad quit coaching high school for a couple of years so he could like watch his son play. Like, you know, I mean, that's like, that's just the thing, is that like these kids are, they make their choices because that's what they want to do. And their parents, who are people, they're real people. They're not just going to sit there and tell their kid, you do what I want you to do. The reason why these kids become as successful as they are at a lot of sports most of the time is because, you know, they're not all Todd Marinovich, you know, where the dad's like overbearing coaching dad, right? Like most of these parents just want their kids to be successful and support them in any choices they make. And so regardless of where Uncle, you know, Uncle Dylan, or not Uncle Dylan, but Uncle Raiola wants you to go, like that's not something I don't think that plays into a lot of these kids' heads. Like,
yeah, Raiola, I mean, to go back to what his credentials were coming here, to have a guy that had, you know, 3-year starter at Wisconsin, knows the conference well in that regard. He's a Chicago guy with the Bears, and has already, there's some recruiting inroads that have happened within the footprint of the Big Ten. The style of play. I mean, when we talked to Kevin Williams talked about how, and this is before spring ball, and he's like, you're going to like the style. And this is back to aggressive football. And you heard last year that some of the rift that Frost would have had with Austin on just simply not agreeing on the same style of O-line play. And this gets into a zone blocking versus, you know, man scheme and all that, or gap blocking. But that this is more aggressive. We're pushing guys off the line. Bob Sledge, the dad of Sam Sledge, former Husker offense lineman, he talked about how every drill they're doing are 10-yard pushing drills. I mean, you're moving guys. And so that's the reason why you bring, you know, Donovan Raiola in. And you know, it was gravy if we can get his nephew, and maybe we still can some time down the road. But we need to see wins, and we need to be getting into those best-case scenarios of wins. And then we can talk about, you know, getting Raiola and recruits like that.
Lots can still change. And you know, if we learn anything from the O'Shawn Mathis situation, it's that Nebraska can recruit in high profile battles.
This wouldn't be the first time a high ranked recruit flips at some point. I mean, I hope the kid the best where if he ends up at Ohio State or wherever. I'm not, you know, necessarily wanting him to, you know, I don't wish anything poorly there. It's just sometimes, you know, you're not going to get every kid, and we just need to focus on this season, really, in my imagination.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
If it says anything, it just says that Nebraska is it says where Nebraska's at. So what Nebraska now gets to answer over these next 6-7 months is which direction it's going from where it's at. So my question for you guys, what direction is the program trending? Is it sort of are you just kind of in like we're stable right now, let's wait and see what happens in the season? Do you think that this program, I had Greg on last week, we were really excited about the O'Shawn Mathis situation. I was really excited about that kid. I think it says a lot about Nebraska's sort of brand recognition, about Nebraska's power, about Nebraska's ability to recruit in this sort of NIL environment. I was really excited about the addition. It feels like it was a shot in the arm for the program, and it can start to trend a little bit in the right direction and compete in some of those kinds of the recruiting battles. Do you guys think that this is a program trending up right now, trending down? Or are you just like, I don't want to do any of this, I hate all of your questions, we just got to wait until the football season?
I think it's 100% to me, it's trending up. And it's going to continue to trend up until Ireland. And then everything can change in one game if that game we have to win. And the same thing would have been said last offseason going into that Illinois game. It's so important to win that first one. But right now, you go back to the end of October, and that was a real, for me, a down point. I wasn't doing much with the show anymore at that point. I didn't know what the future was going to be. There were plenty of people very loud saying that, we need to blow everything up, fire Frost, start over again. And they made valid points. I wasn't one of those people. That's not the route I wanted. The route I wanted to see is what ended up happening, which was some changes need to be happened. But we were already number two in the country since 2010 in dead money. We've tried to fire our way out of enough things in the past and start over, and you're paying millions and millions and millions. And I think Trev couldn't have handled this better. And what he's done now is he's given Frost another lease, and he's giving him a chance to start over without completely starting over. We still have the defensive coaches intact. We have an offense that can take some of the best things that we've been doing under him with the run game. We bring in a guy that has the experience of Whipple for the pass game. I can't believe – I'm shocked at the quarterbacks we got. I thought we were going to get nothing but drop-back QBs the second we got Whipple here, and that's not what I want to see. For us to get Purdy and Thompson, guys that have some dual threat to them, I think that's an absolute – that's a game-changer with the offense. Now we just we got to win games. I mean, there's – I'm not giving any excuses there, but everything that they're doing right now, to me, a trajectory is going up. But that's that's been that way for 4 years too. There's so many times where I'm like, hey, we got these recruits, we got these walk-ons, the strength and conditioning's going, we got the nutrition going, all the things I want to see we're doing. And we get to the games and we punt to the wrong side, or we have penalties that before we play our first play against Oklahoma, it's first and 20 because we have two pre-snap penalties. We keep getting in our way. Mm-hmm. Don't do that this year. Stop that. That's what the staff and these experienced coaches are coming in to change. And if we do that, we're going to win some games, and that trajectory, I think, is going to keep moving that way.
So I feel like the off season, the trajectory is up. And to Honky's point, right now, from now until August, it's going to be a flat line.
Yeah.
And, we're going to add a couple guys that may move it up a little bit. Obviously, guys that want to go into the transfer portal now have to get permission and all this other stuff. So I'm not too worried about that, we still need to get the roster down, I think, to the correct number of scholarships.
Right now. So anybody that we gain requires somebody else to leave.
And I know we still want to add a couple of guys from the transfer portal on the defensive line, and we'll wait and see what happens there. But at this point, it's just going to be a flat line that goes right up to the game in August. You know, they're going to get off that plane in Ireland, and I will, on the following Sunday, we'll know.
Yeah. Like, and, there are things in between now and then, though, too. Just today, Mickey Joseph and Travis Fisher sent out a really cool video on social media, and it's promoting Friday Night Lights. And it was really cool. You know, come, hey, recruits, come here on June 3rd, come here on June 17th, Friday Night Lights. We've been there before. Micah Parsons came here that one year, and you know, Memorial Stadium, they'll put 7,000-8,000 people in there. And there are moments along the way for trajectory to go up, good things to happen even before that game. But the point is, that game is right now, the games are everything. You can be a positive Husker fan in the offseason and feel like things are going in the right direction. And at the same time also say, but none of it matters if we come back from Ireland with an L. We just, it can happen, but it can't. We can't let that happen.
Yeah.
Nebraska can't let that happen. If it happens, I mean, that season, it's so hard to come back from that. And so I'm not sitting there trying to put extra pressure on the guys, for Christ's sakes. It's just, this is a team that we beat 56-7 last year. They'll have a 56-7 motivation against us.
3-win team.
You want to talk to Derek, you mentioned continuity, and you know, look at Northwestern. I mean, that's something that's a bedrock under Fitzgerald, and he's a, you know, he's a great coach. But if you're just simply going solely off of talent and all that, yeah, Nebraska should beat those guys. We should beat them more times than not. And we've lost a lot of games to them, and sometimes in crazy ways and ways that you shouldn't, because we make the mistakes and the other team doesn't. We need to stop making the mistakes. That's to me the number one most important takeaway, period, of all the changes over the offseason. We have to stop making mistakes.
Random aside, and then I've got one last question for you. If I was running Nebraska social, I'm not going to tell them how to do it, but I would want as much Travis Fisher and Mickey Joseph content as I could possibly have. Those guys would, they don't feel like the kind of people that would love to just be sitting in front of a camera all day, like recording a bunch of stuff to be blasted on a social.
No, but they want to be recruiting.
Yeah. If I could get them to just give me as much content as possible, like it would just be gold. Like they resonate with this generation so well, and the kind of players that Nebraska wants so well. Two of my favorite coaches that I've ever seen, been around, things like that. Yeah. So as you're sort of talking about, should beat Northwestern, can't lose to Northwestern, more talented than Northwestern. We feel like we're trending up. We feel good about where we're at now. We gotta win some games. We feel good about where we're at now, but we gotta win some games. Just as I'm listening to you guys talk, I'm getting flashbacks to a year ago and the year before that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of this sort of discourse is similar, and that's going to happen when you continue to sort of lose games the way that Nebraska's lost games, but a lot of the discourse is similar. They're doing well in the offseason. They've hit some of the right notes. They've done things that people wanted to see them do. We got to win games. So does this feel different? Do you feel differently now than you did a year ago?
I feel differently only in the sense that there's some different people involved now. I mean, it's different personnel in the field. It's Thompson versus Martinez. It's, you know, different coaches. But at the end of the day, the thing that isn't different is that, and I always try to stay away from record talk, you know, are we going to go 6-6 or 8-4 or 10-2? And too many people, they think they're really smart and they can figure out, you know, preseason records, and we prognosticate. It's like, whatever. You know what? I don't know how you could predict last season, because last season was historically strange in so many ways. And I mean, historic. That team never should have gone 3-9. You've seen College Football Matrix out there on social media have the graph that showed all the dots, and they did 5,000 simulations on what that team should have done last year. And we had a better shot of going, or we had an equal shot of going 11-1 as we did 4-8. And we went 3-9.
It was statistically improbable.
It was statistically improbable against Michigan State. If you were basing a game off of goals, you know, you want to hold Walker to so many yards. You want to, the defense held him to 13 yards total the entire second half or whatever, and we punt it to the wrong side. And that's not the only thing that lost the game for us offensively. How, you know, we needed to be able to capitalize more times than we did. I mean, We've got to cut out. We make mistakes at times that are absolutely killers. That we make game-changing mistakes. We had 46 points last year scored against us in non-traditional ways, unconventional ways, not against our defense. 46 points. Well, you start to add that up, and you have 9 games that are lost by single digits and 8 games by one score or less, and those are NCAA records, never have happened before. Those 46 points matter. And every single time that you're catching a punt in the end zone and throwing it over your head for safety and getting a field goal or an extra point blocked against OU that gets returned for 2 points, and you're fumbling the ball for a touchdown, you're throwing interceptions for touchdowns, you're kidding, your punts blocked for touchdowns, you're kicking off against Wisconsin having a touchdown, punt returns for a touchdown. It's just, we got to stop doing that. And if we don't, we'll be in bad shape again. But that's where I guess I feel good about special teams. I feel great about Bill Bush being in there and the attention that he's going to give to that. I think that we're going to see a much better performance on that element of the field. And really the one side that's not getting a lot of discussion because of the staff is all back, but really a lot of the changes happen is on the defense. And there's legitimate concern that, you know, hopefully we can replace all the guys that have left that are going pro and playing there, and you know, that we can make those replacements, because I like the scheme. I like some of the things that they're doing there on defense. Shenander's done a great job.
What was the question again? I'm sorry, Honky was so long-winded there.
You're fine.
No, I'm just kidding.
What feels different? I was curious if you were going to say the personnel change is what makes it feel different.
So yeah. So I mean, for me personally, and it is the personnel changes on the offensive side of the ball, the coaches that they brought in, all of them feel like upgrades. And I don't know how, I couldn't give you like the minute details as to why, but a lot of things feel like upgrades. And it feels like the quality of the kids that they're bringing in, especially with Joseph and his recruiting, it just feels different. It feels better to me. Like it feels like, you know, if you look at the resume of every single coach that they brought in this year, you know, there's like either NFL experience, championship experience, something along those lines that, you know, brings in a winning attitude. And you can hear the coaches talk, like Joseph, when you hear interviews with him and he's talking about how, like, oh, you want to play wide receiver for me? You're going to play special teams. You're going to be working really hard. Oh, you think you're the best guy that we brought in? No, you're not. You're just as good as every other kid on there, you know, on the field right now. Just because you had more stars than this kid or better stats in high school than this kid, you're still competing for that position. And every single kid knows this coming in with him, and yet they're still here, which means to me that they want to put in the work. And it feels different in that respect. And I think I could go on and on and make a longer answer. I'm just going to leave it right there at that.
Yeah, that's, you know, I agree. I'm the same space as you guys. So, Honky, the basement sort of man cave, Nebraska area that you got going on is excellent. I love it. That is Trev Albert's face, right? That's Trev Albert's right there. Or who is that?
That's me.
That's Rob. What,
you?
Yeah, that's Rob. That's his cutout from.
You look like Trev Albert's from a distance.
Well, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment, because he's a handsome man. He's a handsome man.
So
he might be younger than me, but he's a handsome man.
I guess you might have to shave for it, but maybe there's a Halloween costume idea for you.
Maybe, but I live in Colorado, so people wouldn't get that.
Oh, you would much. Probably yeah. get eggs thrown at you.
Yeah, I probably would. Yeah, I it was funny. I sent Honky a picture of me like dressed up in this red and white apron with a chef's hat on, and I was like, I'm gonna send this in for a cutout. And he's like, please do, you know, please do. I mean, we were all like in the, like, you know, half a bottle of whiskey a night pandemic phase, right? And so I took that in my kitchen one night and sent it in, and sure enough, they're like, this is great. Like this is awesome. We can't wait to put this in the stands. And then they stuck me like way in the back, and yeah.
Nice. I saw a stadium ranking for the Pac-12 the other day that had Colorado as the best stadium in the Pac-12, and I thought, if you like views, I guess, sure. I've been to that stadium. I would not say that it's the best stadium.
I love it for the Dead and Company shows. I'll be there next month.
Views are great.
17th and 18th, man, and the sunsets and with the Dead playing in the background is one of the best venues around. But For football, I mean, the people there are just horrible people. It's a good thing there's so many Husker fans when they play there, because Colorado fans are not great.
They control the stadium that way. Yeah.
So, yeah. We were there in 19. That was great. I would think Autzen Stadium would be right up there at the top of the Pac-12. I mean, for
those are the things I went to first.
I like Memorial. I like the Berkeley Stadium. The views in the background, the bay, everything going on back there that they have. The worst stadium in the Pac-12 is by far Stanford's. I went to a World Cup game there back in the 90s, and it was like did they rebuild it now? Because it was like wood everywhere. I haven't been there in years. I moved out here in 2010, but I mean, yeah, that was a horrible stadium. That was a horrible stadium.
End up talking about, we're going to end this talking about Stanford and Cal football.
Oh, hey, that was the game. I mean, it's literally called the game. I mean, you know, the band is on the field.
Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on this podcast. I'll let you guys get out of here. It was excellent to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Derek.
We will be back next week with another show. In the meantime, keep reading HailVarsity.com. You can use the coupon code Varsity. Go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe and get yourself signed up for Hail Varsity Premium, for the magazine, for all the Nebraska content that you could possibly hope for. Go to HailVarsity.com. You can read it. Also, listen to the Go Big Redcast. Do it. It'll make your Husker viewing experience, your Husker fandom experience better. You guys are great, and I'm not saying that just because they're sitting there staring at me on my screen. They are wonderful, and listen to them. Also, shouts to Cam. We're recording this later than normal on a Thursday, so shouts to him for doing that, for being flexible, for recording and helping produce this podcast every single week. Shouts to Honky and to Rob one more time, and then to you guys for listening to this every single week. Appreciate you. We'll be back next week.
Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
A Huda Media Production.